Warren Carling, and the Chief Executive, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. As today is Remembrance Day, could we please remain upstanding for a minute's silence to pay respects for all those who made the ultimate sacrifice. We will remember them all with dignity and honour. Lest we forget. I would also like to just take a moment to think about our local firefighters at Caroline Springs Fire Brigade and all the other local brigades that have gone to help fight the fires in New South Wales. We pray for their safe return, and if we could just please keep them and their families in our thoughts and our prayers. You may be seated. Councillors, we'll move along now to item two, apologies and leave of absence.
Apologies this evening, Madam Mayor, from Councillor Turner, Councillor Malik and Councillor Sabir.
Changes to the order of business.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a notice of motion to say that items 13 and 14 on tonight's agenda be held together, with councillors being able to speak for up to 3 minutes and the mayor up to five.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Kessich. All those in favour? Carried. Any deputations?
No deputations, Madam Mayor.
Declarations of any pecuniary interest, other interests or conflicts of interest of any councillor?
Madam Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in Officer's Report item 12.8 in relation to the CEO Review Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Any other councillor? No? We'll move along to item 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
Madam Mayor, if I could move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 14th of October 2019 and the special meeting of Council held on the 31st of October 2019 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ibushi. All those in favour, councillors?
Carried. We'll now move along to item 8, correspondence in... Sorry, councillors. Item 7, record of assembly of councillors. Councillors, do I have a mover for the recommendation before you?
Yes, Madam Mayor. That I move that the record of assembly of councillors dated the 14th, 21st, 28th of October and 6th of November 2019 attached to the agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor.
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour? Carried. We'll move along to item 8, correspondence inward.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Petitions and joint letters.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
No business held over from previous meetings.
Item 11, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of questions this evening. The first question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. His first question reads, at some stage in our lives, many of us will experience bullying, whether at school, the workplace, or even social settings. Bullying is primarily defined as a person or group of people repeatedly and intentionally using words or actions to cause distress and or harm to another person's well-being. According to my research, the federal and state governments are investing heavily in the fight against bullying. What is the position of council with regard to bullying, in particular workplace and cyberbullying, and what programs or support, if any, are available to employees and residents dealing with bullying behaviour? And Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, will provide a response.
Thanks for that question, David. Council has a zero tolerance approach to workplace bullying, and that includes cyberbullying. This approach is implemented through a comprehensive policy framework which applies to all participants in the workplace, including employees, students, contractors and volunteers. The framework includes Council's Code of Conduct, Discrimination, Harassment and Bullying Policy and Procedures. These invoke the legislative definition of bullying and set out acceptable standards of behaviour in accordance with the Council's values, prevention of bullying and the process to raise and resolve a complaint of bullying. Cyberbullying is also dealt with in these policies and procedures, which state that it can occur when employees are using the internet and social media at work and even after work hours. Further, Council's social media policy provides understanding, guidance and acceptable standards for the appropriate use of social media platforms and tools, and outlines unacceptable behaviours, including statements which may be considered to be bullying or harassment. This content is integrated in compulsory and formal induction of the council staff. Refresher training and awareness on acceptable standards of behaviour, including unlawful behaviour such as bullying, was most recently conducted across the whole of council from November 2017 to February 2018. Community awareness regarding bullying, and particularly cyberbullying, has included the following actions from council. An introductory program in 2016 across council's libraries and neighbourhood houses with a particular focus on awareness raising for parents. And a tea and tech program was conducted for seniors this year, which included a module on cyber safety. Council is also planning to include a course on both cyberbullying and cyber safety in the online learning platform for the community in 2020. Thank you.
Second question from Mr. O'Connor reads, I make reference to the traffic signals at the location of Ferris Road and the Western Highway. For the purpose of public record, the current operational sequence provides a green arrow for right turn vehicles to enter the highway from Ferris Road. However, on many occasions, heavy transport approaching the intersection from the opposite direction, High Street bound, fail to stop and continue through the intersection. Does Council have the capacity to investigate and report back on these observations, or does this concern need to be addressed directly with VicRoads? Laura Jo Mellon, Acting GM of Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks, David, for your question. As you alluded to in your question, Vic Roads are the coordinating road authority for the intersection at Fenish Road and the Western Highway. Noting that the behaviour of the drivers going through the signals is a behavioural issue, we will raise it with Vic Roads in terms of the sequencing and also with Vic Police at the next catch-up we have with them on general road matters. Thank you.
Our next question is from Brady Keane. Is Mr. No. Keane in the gallery?
No.
No? Okay. There were two questions. In accordance with Council's meeting procedure local law, the submitter of a public question must be present in the gallery in order for it to be answered at the meeting. Failing their attendance, they receive only a written response to the matters raised, and accordingly, a written response will be provided to Mr. Keane. Next question is from Naomi Bloom. Is Ms. Bloom in the gallery? Similar response with regards to that question. Next question is from Michelle Spiteri, who is in the gallery. First question reads, in response to a question regarding a significant increase in traffic volume at Council's meeting dated October 14, I was informed that Council intends to seal Boundary Road from Hopkins Road through to Mount Cottrell Road in a joint venture with City of Wyndham. It was stated that once done, this will reduce traffic travelling along Troops Road South. However, this will not be the case, as much of the traffic is heading towards the city. There is no overpass at Mount Cottrell Road to access city-bound lanes of the Western Highway, and traffic comes from the estates to the south. We'll continue to use this as a thoroughfare. Similarly, traffic coming from Melton are unable to cross the highway at Mount Cottrell Road, meaning that they will need to cross at Leakes Road. How can Council justify the upgrading of Boundary Road to Mount Cottrell Road as a reason to reduce traffic on Troops Road South, given all of the above? And again, Laura Jo Mallon will respond.
Thanks, Michelle, for your question. As you noted, Boundary Road continues to experience a significant increase in traffic volumes, largely because it provides that east-west link from Werribee to Melton and also further west, and it gives people a route that's not reliant on the arterial road network. It is acknowledged that vehicles may use Troops Road South at the moment as an alternate route to access the west due to the frequent maintenance that's occurring and some of the works along Hopkins Road. It is anticipated that the sealing of Boundary Road will actually see the reduction in some of the traffic that's currently used in Troops Road South and also the Leakes Road interchange. It's acknowledged that some of the traffic travelling north on Hopkins Road will likely divert to Troops Road to access the Western Highway city bound, as it would be a further 15 minutes travelled as opposed to them just using Hopkins Road. We can provide some further details on the traffic count in our response as well.
The second question from Michelle is, according to Melton Council's overview of intervention levels and response time spreadsheet, appendix to the road management plan, and prior correspondence from the City of Melton itself, Troops Road South is to be graded every 4 to 8 weeks and more often when required. Despite numerous calls to Council about the pothole-ridden state of the road or unsafe dust plumes created by heavy articulated vehicles using this road, parts of the road have not been graded or maintained for over 3 months now. Will Council commit to a rigorous and consistent maintenance program for Troops Road South in order to uphold the integrity and safety of this road that was never designed to attract the amount of traffic it is receiving? Note, well, video evidence can be supplied of the road condition in both the wet and dry over the past 3 weeks to support these comments. Again, Laura Jo Mallon to respond.
Thanks again, Michelle. In terms of the maintenance, as we've outlined in the previous question, we do this maintenance in accordance with the road management plan that we have for the area. We have been undertaking regular inspections to identify any defects. I can look into the recent calls that you've made and find out what's happening with those issues. We've been out on site regularly undertaking maintenance to try and make sure that those defects are managed appropriately. As always, any defects or hazards can be reported through customer service, and we will take another interim inspection. That just dropped out? That's back. Just to let you know as well that Council is undertaking resheeting works, which is basically the reconstruction of the unsealed road of Troops Road South, and residents will be notified of the works shortly, and they are scheduled to commence prior to Christmas.
Our next question is from Anna Gadari. It reads, as a regular traveller along Hopkins Road, I have often been forced to travel along Troops Road South to avoid heavy congestion, traffic hotspots, or accidents that have occurred. I am aware that there is to be a realignment along Greggs Road to Hopkins Road in the future. Is this to be done before or after Troops Road South is sealed? If before, then it will create extreme pressure on Troops Road South, as drivers will be forced to use this road as the only alternative. Again, Ms. Mallon.
Thanks, Anna, for your question. The construction of Greggs Road, the realignment of it, is actually part of future development works that we don't actually have any timescales on for the moment. Troops Road South itself is currently not funded, as we mentioned in a previous response. However, it does remain the priority in one of our capital work programmes, and it is under consideration for the 2022 financial year budget. It should be noted as well that when Greggs Road gets realigned, it will also include a signalised intersection with Hopkins Road that should make the access and egress from that intersection safer. And just reiterating previously, we do manage the Troops Road South as it currently stands in accordance with our road management plan.
That concludes public question time, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, if I could draw your attention to item 12.1, presentation of staff reports.
Can we block that, Madam Mayor?
You want to block which items?
I can tell you, Madam Mayor, sorry.
That's okay.
Can we please block items 12.1, 12.2, 12.4 and 12.5?
Councillors, I have Councillor Ramsay who has moved a motion to block items 12.1, 12.2, 12.4 and 12.5. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour? Carried. For the new members of the gallery, councillors have moved items 12.1, 12.2, 12.4 and 12.5 in block. That means that councillors have accepted all officers' recommendations on these reports that you'll find in your agenda. We'll now move along to item 12.3, gambling harm prevention and reduction policy. Christine Denyer.
Over here, Madam Mayor.
Matt.
That's okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report presents Council's new gambling harm prevention and reduction policy 2019 for Council consideration and adoption following 21 days of public exhibition. The policy aligns with current public health promotion and harm prevention practice and reflects Council's policy directions in this area. The policy was endorsed by Council on the 19th of August in 2019, subject to a 21-day exhibition period and a further report returned to Council, which this report is. The policy that it's replacing, which is the current responsible gambling policy, was adopted by Council on the 1st of October 2014. And in the 5 years since then, substantial progress has been made in relation to both understanding gambling harms and approaches made within community and the public space to reduce those harms. So it's appropriate that the policy be updated now in 2019. The period of exhibition... councillors, it also represents a response to notice of motion 615, which was tabled by Councillor Ramsay at a previous council meeting, which stated, given that the council has extensively reviewed its gaming policy in recent years, that a minor review of council's gaming policy be undertaken by officers and a report brought back to council within the next 3 months with a review to consider no further poker machines in council buildings and a tighter scrutiny on the hours of operation of gaming venues. Councillors, the policy that we are seeking adoption for tonight addresses those matters raised by the notice of motion tabled by Councillor Ramsay. The new draft policy does reflect Council's strong commitment to reducing harms from gambling, in line with community expectations and supporting the implementation of the Melton Planning Scheme. This new policy delivers an updated policy and represents Council's future commitment and ongoing commitment to reducing these harms within our community. As stated prior, the policy was placed on public exhibition for a period of 21 days with notice given to the existing gambling operators, industry groups, government agencies, surrounding councils and community organisations that would have interest in the policy, and a table of submissions, which totaled 8, has been placed at Appendix 2 for Council's consideration. Also in view of officer recommendations relating to those submissions. The report essentially brings this policy back to Council for adoption, as it had previously considered the content at the 19th of August meeting. And the recommendation from officers is that Council adopts this policy, which is at Appendix 1, and notes the table of submissions at Appendix 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Is there any councillor who wishes to seek clarification? If not, do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor, and commend the department on the review. As we continue to grow, I'm sure this issue is only going to get more prominent in our municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Bushy. All those in favour? Carried. Item 12.6, Kurrunjang Recreation Reserve Tennis Court Upgrade Design and Construct. Mr Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is seeking Council's approval to award contract number 20009 for the design and construction of the Kurrunjang Recreation Reserve Tennis Court. Council has committed to the construction of 4 of 6 tennis courts at Kurrunjang Recreation Reserve. These 4 courts have reached their end of life and have extensive cracking and also when it rains is subject to ponding with water retention and the uneven surface on those 4 courts. There is a current budget in the 2019, our current budget, yeah, Madam Mayor, allocation of $674,684. The contract was let for tender and 5 tender submissions were received. The tender evaluation process was conducted and a recommended contractor found, and that recommended contractor is AS Lodge Proprietary Limited. And the sum of, or the cost, I guess, submitted by AS Lodge is for $553,377. The tender evaluation summary is found in the confidential section of Appendix 1 and the recommendation to Council is to award the contract as recommended to AS Lodge Proprietary Limited.
Thank you, Mr Wilson. Councillor Ramsay.
Clarification. Through you, Madam Mayor, we've got the four. The condition of the other two, where are they at and how long before they're at end of life? And I'm not, because we're letting the contract now, I understand that, but what would have been the cost-benefit ratio of doing all six at the same time, or are they virtually new?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I might have to take that answer on notice because I'm not aware of the two courts. However, the officer recommendations at this point was to pursue the reconstruction of the four,
yep.
Inclusive of LED lighting, fencing and other remedial works for courts one and two, which I believe will bring courts one and two up to the same standard for play as the four new courts.
Just to assist you, Mr. Wilson, in a budget, I think 3 to 4 years ago, the other two courts, I believe, were upgraded.
Okay.
They're in a far worse condition than these four. And the club's been lobbying ever since then to get the balance of the courts upgraded. And this completes the complete set.
Thank you, Mr. Tory and Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Matt, is the scope of works, is it set or is it something that's going to be a moving target?
Through you, Madam Mayor. In terms of the four courts, do you mean Councillor Hardy?
Is the works, the scope of works, is it set or is it? The reason why I'm asking is contingency set at 20% is such a high end. It's the usual construction contingency is set at 5 and at a very complex high end multi, up there with the $500 million, you might go to 7 or 8%. To have a 20% for a very flat project which only has a rip up and install and replace or whatever, that being the case, variations are the norm for a contract, not contingencies. Contingencies are add-ons to the contract. So what I'm seeking here, have we got a contract that needs to be added onto it, or is it set to four courts or whatever courts we've got, and rip up, do whatever works, drainage, and then replace?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It's a defined scope of work, so it's a very, very set works. I guess the use of the word contingency is more along the lines of a provision for potential variations rather than a strict application of the term contingencies. And as you'll notice, the actual motion before council is to award the contract at the sum of $553,377. There's nothing in the motion itself in relation to the contingency. It's merely a notation in the report to point out that there is a significant amount available to remain within budget should there be significant variations in due to latent conditions or whatever. It's perhaps the wrong use of the terminology contingency, but the motion itself is what relates directly to the contract.
For you, Madam Mayor, I understand the courts and I understand the motion. The use of the word contingency versus variation has a problem. Variations are transparent because you apply, someone oversights it and signs it off.
Okay.
Contingency, if you don't, you access the money because there has been an add-on to the scope of works. To ensure that we understand, councillors understand the process, could we have a disclosure of the contingency to the mayor for processing to councillors after the contract, of course?
After the contract's completed?
Yes.
But we have a disclosure. By all means, yeah. Yeah, certainly will be available. Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and
you're welcome, Councillor Hardy. Are there any other councillors who would like to seek clarification? If not, I'll put the motion. Does anyone oppose the motion? Sorry, I need someone to move it first. Sorry. Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder? Does anyone wish to second? Second by Councillor Mendes. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour? Carried.
Call division, Madam Mayor, please.
Councillor Bushy has called for a division. All those councillors in favour? Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsay, and Councillor Carley. Against? Nil. I declare it carried. We'll move along to item 12.7, citizenship ceremony changes. Mrs. Denyer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is to update Council on a number of changes in planning for and delivery of citizenship ceremonies. So just to give councillors a background, in the financial year 2017-18, Council conducted 5 ceremonies and conferred citizenship on 509 people. And in the current year, we are set to conduct 25 citizenship ceremonies, planning to cater for 2,480 conferees, with this number expected to rise possibly to 34 ceremonies. And that's because of the backlog of people awaiting citizenship and the fact that the Department of Home Affairs expects the ceremonies to be conducted within 3 months of people passing their test. So with that background, it's to advise councillors of a couple of changes to the statutory landscape, if you like. First is a revised Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code. The revised code is set out at Appendix 1 and was announced by the Minister for Immigration, Citizenship, Migrant Services and Multicultural Affairs, the Honourable David Coleman, MP, on the 20th of September this year. It's not dissimilar to the previous code, which had been in place since 2011, but there are some notable changes. Just like the previous code, it sets out the presiding officer and who's responsible for the reading of the minister's message in the minister's absence. But new inclusions are that it makes clear that councils must hold a citizenship ceremony on Australia Day as part of their Australia Day celebrations. It also sets out an expectation that a ceremony be on or near to Australian Citizenship Day, which is the 17th of September. And notably, it now includes a requirement for councils to have a dress code for the ceremonies, a copy of which must be provided to the Department of Home Affairs. So there's a draft dress code set out at Appendix 2. It's not an overly prescriptive document. It's quite succinct and, as I say, doesn't seek to be overly prescriptive. In terms of financial considerations, I've set those out in the report just really to make councillors aware that with the massive increase in ceremonies that the current budget and budgets in the future will be likely to have to increase. So the officer recommendation is simply to note the significant increase in the citizenship ceremonies and the revised code set out at Appendix 1 and to adopt the suggested draft code at Appendix 2. And that recommendation is set out on page 144. Councils, of course, have the option to make any changes to that draft dress code as they see fit, noting that we must have one, however, and must provide it to the department. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mrs. Denyer. Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor, if someone was to come, say, from work directly to a 6 o'clock session and they wore their fluoros, because that's because their partner or their child or somebody was becoming a citizen, would we be sending them away, or would we be a little bit more understanding of their circumstances? Is there a little bit of grey area for those that, I mean, if they're going to come in thongs and boardies and they've had all day, I can understand it. But if someone's come directly from work and they're running late and they, is there some scope?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I would suggest that colour is not mentioned in the document, therefore a fluoro top is simply a top in any other colour.
Thank you. Thank you,
Ms. Denya. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Collingwood colours accepted.
Are there any other councillors who seek any clarification?
Can I just make one statement? If anyone turns up in a Collingwood Guernsey, I'll kick them out.
Do I have a councillor to move the recommendation?
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ibushi. Do I have a Councillor Kesich to second the motion? Anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour? All those in favour?
Come on, stick your hands up. The Mayor's waiting.
I declare the motion carried. Councillors, we now move to item 12.8.
So I declare an interest.
Yep. And we'll just take one moment for the CEO to leave the chamber. Councillors, we have a recommendation before us. Item 12.8, Chief Executive Officer Review Committee Structure. Is there any councillor who seeks any clarification?
Is Ms. Denya going to report to this, or Mr. Yeah. Bean?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before I commence presentation of the report, I just want to declare to the meeting that my role, I report directly to the Chief Executive Officer. All staff are ultimately employed by the Chief Executive Officer, but in my case, I do report directly to that role. So, with that said, the purpose of the report is to review and determine the appropriate structure for the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee. And the Council is required under Section 94 of the Local Government Act to appoint the Chief Executive Officer. Section 97A of the Act requires Council to review also the performance of the Chief Executive Officer at least once a year. And so this report has been prepared both at the request of councillors and because it's timely to review these arrangements. The current arrangements are a special committee. So a special committee is a type of committee that makes decisions under delegation. It has all the powers and functions that the council gives it, with some limitations, which are set out in the report. The current special committee has four members, which is comprised of the mayor and three councillors, and it has the powers and functions set out on page 199. I won't read them out. An alternative structure, which is possible under the Act, is an advisory committee. An advisory committee has no decision-making powers. It simply advises the council, who then makes a decision. A possible structure would be to have all nine councillors on the advisory committee, who would then give advice to the ordinary meeting of council where the decision would be made. And this is in line with the recommendations of the inspectorate as set out in a recent report from the inspectorate, mentioned on page 200. An independent facilitator would be assisting the council in any recruitment and review of the CEO and would also sit on the review committee. So the recommendation is that is set out on page 198, and that is that we move to an advisory committee arrangement with all councillors on the advisory committee advising the ordinary meeting of council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mrs. Denyer. Are there any councillors who seek further clarification? Do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have a seconder? Second by Councillor. Second by Councillor Mendes. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. We'll just wait for the CEO, Mr. Calvin Torrey, to enter the chamber.
Tap him on.
Councillors will continue with item 13 and 14, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies and council representations and acknowledgements. We'll begin with Councillor Ibushi.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'll begin with Lakeview Senior College end of year exhibition at CS Gallery on the 20th of the 10th, Spring Hills Football Club presentation at Melrose Reception. 23rd of the 10th, the Medina 2019 Community Fund presentations. The 26th, the 10th, City of Melton and Woodley, Guinness World Records, largest soccer lesson which was achieved. Congratulations to the City of Melton and all those who participated. I believe that's going to be published in their next publication next year, so that's fantastic for our residents and fantastic for the municipality. 27th of the 10th, the junior presentations for the Westside Strikers at Luxor Reception Centre. The 28th, Year 12 graduation ceremony for Lakeview Secondary College at Moonee Valley Racecourse. 31st of the 10th, the statutory meeting for the election of the Mayor. Congratulations, Councillor Carley, and well done, almost completing your first chamber meeting as Mayor.
A few
Mayor.
Mistakes in getting there. A few lumps.
The 3rd of the 10th, the Sikh Temple, 550th birthday of Sri Guru Nanak Sabirji, and the Sports and Cultural Day at Plumpton, the Sikh Temple, which was a fantastic day. And the 9th-11th, the Jeriwara Street Parade. I was one of the judges with yourself, Madam Mayor, and although it was bloody cold and wet, and I can't even describe the weather up on that platform, we managed to do the job, and I heard that the evening, which I couldn't make, was also good. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Councillor Mendes.
I've had a busy month. We're starting off with the Lakeview Senior College End of Year Arts Exhibition on the 16th of October. It was really impressive to see that we've got a great large number of artists in all different shapes and forms, and I wouldn't have wanted to be the person judging any of that artwork because it would have been a difficult task. On the 19th of October, we went to Relay for Life Bogan Bingo, which was an interesting evening, as you could probably tell by the title, it was interesting to watch different characters in Melton dressed in ways that you've never seen them before. On the 23rd of October, we went to the Dennis Family Awards. The 24th of October, Mayor's Ball, great night to see our volunteers recognised in the City of Melton. On the 25th of October, we had a short story presentation night, which looks at all the stories. There's 315 entries across the City of Melton, where students were judged on their story writing skills. On the 26th of October, the Rotary Charity Race Night, $18,000 was raised, and it's going to be split between three groups in the community. On the 29th of October, it was great to watch the Daughters of the West graduation, including our Councillor Sophie Ramsey graduate, to see many women joining in to improve their health in the City of Melton. On the 9th of November, the day started off with looking like it was going to pour with rain, but we got a bit of drizzle, but we certainly got some high winds, which I'm sure the judges enjoyed when they were on that platform. The parade was interesting, and it was great to see the schools represented in a greater form this year. The night was quite an interesting sight. I think I was more interested in the shoes of the lady that, on the stage than her singing, because I don't know how she actually stood up in that weather on those glass hills. But it was a great night, and it was great to see even the younger children, even as age as three, enjoying themselves. And I think the fireworks was a fantastic display this year. On the 10th of November, I had the pleasure of going again to see these lovely people over here, the Axons, and their group, the Melton Model Aircraft Open Day, to see even us little kids that are supposed to be big kids in disguise doing lolly drops and pinching all the lollies off the little kids. The 11th of November, there was Caroline Springs Remembrance Day, and it was a pleasure today to go down there and lay the wreath. And it was even fantastic to see our wonderful 93-year-old, I think his name's Godfrey, he actually came out of his in his wheelchair from Bacchus Marsh, and they were adamant that they were going to get him there, and then he went off to have lunch with all the people that he served with. So I thought that was a fantastic way to end the month. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I started the month off with the Young Diggers Together We Heal. Then I presented it to the Girl Guides, or more should I say they presented to me, and I had to go for a badge, and I'm sure I failed, but that's okay. The Western Base Board Strategic Planning Day was held. The Carers Access Resource Expo. I'm just going to be saying thanks, guys, whoever it was, that whichever department is in charge of that. Mr. Wilson, will you take that back? Absolutely sensational. There was a Week Without Violence by DBSV Melton Project, which was sensational. The West Metro Aboriginal Community Health Expo. We didn't organise it. We gave them the community centre or community hall. Fantastic. The Australian Multicultural Association Diwali Festival. Absolutely brilliant. The Relay for Life Bogan Bingo. I won, but I got ripped off because I don't know how to do the nutbush. The Bhutanese Annual Multicultural Program. What they do to include other groups, other cultures, is sensational. It's the fifth one. It's been brilliant. Hope no one's recording me. The Children's Week events from your department again, Mr. Wilson. Absolutely sensational. The short stories as well was absolutely sensational, and the praise keeps coming. 16 days of activism, the decal launch. Again, I think it was Councillor Carley's notice of motion, but it was congratulations to Councillor Carley, but also the fact that it was out there to be seen was a great statement, and I was very proud and privileged to be that. Don't think I'm really proud and privileged to have my photo on another web page, but that'll be a discussion for another day. The Hope Street First Response Mobile Outreach. I think Madam Mayor can tell us about the Olympics that were held that day. Sensational. Jerawarra Festival. Mr. Bean, absolutely brilliant. Bonfire and the fireworks were my favourites. Sneaky sound system was good too, but the blackout needs improvement. The Melton Model Aircraft Open Day, you guys are just sensational. I do want to correct Councillor Mendes. I didn't steal any lollies off any kids. That the adults gave them to me. The Remembrance Day service was also today, and it was. It always touches my heart when I see that happening because it means a lot to me. The Merrill Ball. Miss Denya and your team and the local talent that was held, you went to the nth degree to make that an absolutely sensational day or evening, and I commend you on that. The Melton Fire Brigade pre-season dinner. I am running towards the end. Rotary Club race night. The Melton Baptist Church had their 50th birthday. The Westside Strikers junior presentation was great. The Melton Waste Recovery Centre launch was sensational. Well done, Council, collectively. LJ, that's your team, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Just nod because I'm saying thank you. Daughter of the West graduation, yes, I survived
Councillor,
that one.
Councillor Ramsey, you're really over now.
Two more seconds. The Migrant Resource Centre, Road Safety Association graduation, and again, the Preventing Family Violence. But I also want to concur with our Mayor. Our love and our thoughts go to not only those fighting the fires, but also those that have passed and those that are still fighting to save their homes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. I told you it was going to go for 25 minutes.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. October 15th, the young diggers together at the Willows. The 17th was the carers' access. It gets bigger and better every year. The 19th for Relay for Life fundraiser. 29th was the Multicultural Bhutanese program. 24th was the mural ball. Again, it's a wonderful night for the residents showcase. The 25th was the presentation short stories in Melton. 26th was the world's biggest soccer clinic. I know that a few of the councillors were able to attend. Wonderful day outcome. And yes, it was achieved. The number was achieved. So, yeah, well done to all. Rotary Club charity race night on the 26th, the 27th, the Sikh Temple birthday celebration of Guru Nanak Dev, Melton Highway. 29th, Daughters of the West. 30th was the Audit Committee. November the 8th, in Parliament, they had the Sikh, their memorial prayer book in Parliament. Great celebration. I was lucky to be there, and there is a presentation coming to Council for the Mayor at a later time, and that is for their 550th anniversary of Guru Nanak Dev. The 9th was Jurawara Festival, the fireworks, the bonfire. Great night, great day. Weather wasn't kind, but there was a lot of turnout. And of course, the 11th today being the remembrance. Yeah, it's a day for remembrance, along with those that are fighting fires. It's a double entry day, and I think we all are lucky that we have volunteers that do serve the community. And thank you to them. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 16th of October, Lakeview Senior College and End of Year Arts Exhibition and Co. On the 17th of October, Care Success Resources Expo. Then on the 18th, I went overseas and I had a small gap. I went overseas to recharge my batteries to be ready for 31st of October when we had elections of the new mayor. As a defeated one, I would like to congratulate you once again.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich.
You're welcome. On the 31st of October, I've been able to attend the official launch of the new West Waters outdoor event space. Then on the 1st of November, I had a meeting with the residents from Parkside Village, Caroline Springs, in regards to the park, the condition of the park. And on the 9th of November, Jerivara Festival, Melton. I would like to commend all council officers on a wonderfully organised event. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. I won't go through all of mine because I know my fellow councillors have touched on them, so I'll be pretty quick. The 16th of October, Lakeview Senior College End of Year Arts Exhibition. The talent at that senior school is just absolutely mind-blowing. So well done to the arts teacher and the school for putting on that art show. Carers Access Resources Expo on the 17th of October. Can I just say, Mr. Wilson, to your team, a job very well done. There was many service providers. The feedback that we received on the day was everybody absolutely loved it, and they got a lot out of that, so that was one not to be missed. The 18th of October, the Lifelong Learning Festival opening for 2019. The 20th of October, Spring Hills Football Club presentation night. 23rd of October, Dennis Family Corporation Medina Community Fund Grants presentation evening. 27th, the Westside Strikers Junior presentation. 28th, I attended the bi-monthly grants assessment panel. The 31st, we had the statutory meeting. The 2nd of November, Aintree Multicultural Club Diwali Festival Woodley. That was an absolute full house, but a,
a fun night, lots of dancing and wonderful costumes, and it was just lots of fun. The 3rd of November, Sikh Temple, 550th birthday of Sri Guru Nanak Sahib. We had a sports and cultural day up in Plumpton. Councillor Bushi was on the winning team with Councillor Turner when they were doing the tug of war. Councillor Maidlick, well, she won on our side, but I lost that one. But that was an absolutely fun day as well, playing musical chairs as well, which were part of their sports and cultural day. The Myanmar Community Profile event, which was held in the Melton Library. Hope Street Olympics was a very was a fun day. Councillor Ramsey and I, we did not participate in the Olympics. There was no swimming or egg and spoon races for us, or treadmilling, but we were there as a cheer squad, and what a great job Hope Street Outreach team did. So well done to them.
Madam Mayor, I thought Councillor Hardy was going to do the swim league.
I thought that too. We were waiting for you, Councillor Hardy. But
waiting for the duck.
On the 7th, I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee. The 9th was the Jarrawarra Festival. That was a great festival. It gets better and better every year, and we had the tough job, Councillor Obushi and I, and also Citizen of the Year Maureen Moore, judging the parade. But well done to the winners, and I just want to mention the winners because they put so much work and effort that went into some of those floats were just amazing. So well done to Toolinvale District Primary School for Outstanding School Award, Kirrup Aboriginal Corporation, Most Outstanding Achievement, Metamorphica Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness Community Spirit Award, and Instrument Infusion Best Themed. So well done to all of those, and well done to all of them just for participating in the day. So it was a wonderful night. The entertainment was great. I know there was a bit of a blackout, but that's okay. There's sometimes technical glitches, Councillor Ramsey, but we just get on with the job. But it was spectacular. The bonfire.
Sounds coincidental
to
the mirror speech.
That's okay.
Timing. And, Mr. Bean, timing.
And also today, Remembrance Day in Melton was absolutely beautiful. And well done to Ian Laurie for the work that he does there and his RSL members. That's all for me. And surprisingly, I was under time, probably for the first time.
Less than Councillor
Ramsey. Oh, and I was less than Councillor Ramsey for once.
But I work hard too.
Councillors, we'll move along now to item 15, notices of motion. Notice of motion 660, Councillor Obushi.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. That due to increased traffic volumes on Troops Road South in Mount Cottrell, council officers refer the road upgrade to the 2020-2021 budget for funding consideration. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushi. Are there any councillors which seek clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I just want to know if there's any way we can put something into looking at current and previous data of volumes of traffic so that can be put in, or is that just something that will happen anyway?
Sorry, could you
just look at like data from previous years of the traffic volumes on those roads to current so that you can actually see the need for...
Yeah, we can include that in the consideration during the budget process, Councillor Mendes.
So that was moved by Councillor Obushi. Does any councillor wish to second that?
Me.
Councillor Kesich? Are there any councillors which oppose the motion? If not, all those in favour? Carried.
I call a division, please, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Obushi has called for a division. All those in favour? Councillor Obushi, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Carley. All those against? Nil. I declare it carried. Councillors, item 16, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Ramsey.
I did think of one. The works that's happening on the railway crossing at Exford Station, Exford Road, do we know how long that's going to be therefore. You can take it on notice. How long?
4 days.
4 days? Only 4 days?
That's what I sent out.
I've got my answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Is there any other... Councillor Hardy?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On Blackwood Drive, the bridge going over the creek, there has been an incident there where a car has taken out the handrail, the guardrail, or whatever we want to call it. Has Council got a remedial program in place?
Through you, Madam Mayor. I'll have to take that on notice, Councillor Hardy, and get back to you with when we're
Thank
fixing the handrail. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Any other questions?
Councillor? I was just wondering if someone could actually advise me what the works on the creek up near West Lakes is, where they've actually dredged the whole creek and they're actually putting down trees and looks like some sort of matting along the creek. It's been going on for several weeks.
Oh, at Arnold's Creek, sorry. Yeah. So they're, So they're Melbourne Water are undertaking a project where they're basically removing the concrete channel and recreating the natural creek, and they'll be replanting a lot of trees and things as part of the works, Councillor Mendes. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. No further questions without notice, councillors. Motions without notice. Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor, thank you. Can I move that the cost of the design for a community cultural centre with a performing arts component be referred to the 2020-21 budget for consideration?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Any other motions without notice, councillors? I have one. The council officers undertake an assessment of entrance treatments of established areas within the municipality and bring a report to council detailing the estate name, condition of entrance treatment, refurbishment required, approximate costs, and assessed priority. We'll move along to item 18, urgent business. Is there any? Nil. 19, confidential business, nil. Well, I'll declare the meeting closed at 8:02. And for the members of the gallery, if you'd like to stay, please help yourself to refreshments out there in the foyer, and councillors will join you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well,
so you've set the standard, 8:02.